Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Welcome to the last segment of this Monday edition of Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Walker Wildman here sitting in for my dad, Tim Wildman. Ed Vitagliano is also traveling, both of them on AFA Business. Fred Jackson sitting in with me. Steve Jordahl has joined us. Steve, welcome to the show.
Good morning. And you say Ed is traveling for business today, but I'm not so sure on Columbus Day, the Italian-American in him isn't just like, you know, finding pizza joints to hang out in.
He's kicked back having a good time. They're up in Branson, Missouri, so we're here slaving hard for,
as they say, suffering for Jesus, right?
Yeah, that's it. So a lot of news on the front of the burner today. But Steve, let's jump back to this weekend. Really, Saturday we had a lot of stuff going on in D.C. with the Kavanaugh vote.
Yeah, so the vote happened Saturday. He was confirmed, and in a lot of ways, he was also sworn in on Saturday at the Supreme Court. There's going to be another swearing in, the kind of the ceremonial public thing tonight. But when it didn't stop the those anti-Trump protesters from expressing themselves, I wanted to play you a little bit of sound of what it sounded like when they rushed the doors of the Supreme Court where Kavanaugh was being sworn in on Saturday. Well, you can hear what they said.
Not my judge, Brett Kavanaugh, is not my judge. Brett Kavanaugh, is not my judge. Brett Kavanaugh.
So you hear them saying, Brett Kavanaugh, not my judge. The picture that you were seeing at the same time of this is actually literally one woman came up and started clawing at the door of the Supreme Court. Others were pounding on it and just irate. I thought about this for a while, and I've been trying to figure out what went on here. Tell me if you think I'm maybe offline on this, but what happened was when Democrats couldn't delay a vote or couldn't get him on his principles, they decided to bring in this charge of sexual assault at the last minute after the hearing was over. And we all said at the time it was in order to delay. But what they did, and it was probably smart on their part as an opposition, when they tied him to the Me Too movement, it stopped being about Brett Kavanaugh, did he do it or not, and it started in these people's minds being about every single woman who had ever been or claimed to have ever been sexually assaulted, and that a vote for Kavanaugh was somehow denying them their reality and their truth and belittling them. And I was just longing for someone to say, no, this is about one person. It's about Brett Kavanaugh. It has nothing to do with your assault. It doesn't, you know, this isn't a cultural watershed moment. But the Democrats, when they brought all this in, they made it that. They brought the whole weight of the Me Too movement, and they made it about that instead of being about Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, no, I think you're exactly right, because you had the female protester in the elevator with Jeff Flake last week, and she was saying, If you vote for Brett Kavanaugh, you're voting against me, and you're denying the fact that I was sexually assaulted years ago. And then she went on to say, you know, you're setting a bad example for my daughters and things like that. So you're exactly right. They went from Brett Kavanaugh's judicial record, we don't like it. He sexually assaulted someone even though we can't prove it. And then a vote for Brett Kavanaugh is a vote against the Me Too movement.
There's another element here that I have to keep going back to all the time. These people, these protesters, you mentioned the Jeff Flake incident on the elevator. It has been proven that that woman is a paid operative. She works for an organization that is largely funded by George Soros. But these protesters, they know that the media that is covering them are their friends and their allies, and they can do anything. Whatever they do, they will get a sympathetic coverage from the media. That's the way it is. So when your friends are the 90% of the mainstream media out there, then there's going to be all of this theater. In a moment, you know, Senator Chuck Grassley, who is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he's normally a pretty laid-back guy. But he was quite angry last week. The Republicans had a news conference. I think it may have been Friday morning or Thursday afternoon. But anyway, they had a news conference explaining where they were with the process and that they were moving forward with a vote. And it was interesting. At that point, of course, the reporters are hollering questions and challenging the Republicans. And he said, wait a minute. He said, I think he hesitated to use the term fake news, but he said, I had protesters at my office. Mm-hmm. He said, I had protesters for Judge Kavanaugh, and I had protesters against Judge Kavanaugh. And he said, the protesters for Judge Kavanaugh, he said, you told me, you reporters, you weren't interested in the pro-Kavanaugh faction. You only wanted to talk to the anti-Kavanaugh faction of those protesters. He called them out on it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. This is what happens again and again. If it's a Democrat, if it's a liberal Democrat, they're going to get positive coverage. Mm-hmm. You know who's about the only Democrat getting negative coverage this morning? Joe Manchin.
Yeah, Joe Manchin. Yep.
Joe Manchin is about the only Democrat because he voted for Kavanaugh. He's the only one getting negative coverage.
There continues to be fallout also. Chad Pergram is reporting from, this was last night, I guess he put this out. He's Chad Pergram is a producer for Fox and also a prolific Twitter. This is where a lot of times I get breaking news.
He's
the first to put it out.
He keeps us up to date.
Amid Kavanaugh furor, this is a tweet that he put out. Amid Kavanaugh furor and threats to members, Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado, Republican, tells Fox that his wife received a text with a video attachment showing a gruesome beheading. Someone has also released the names of and addresses of his family members. We have a writer for Stephen Colbert who tweeted out, well, we might have lost, but at least we ruined Brett Kavanaugh's life. And then Taylor Swift, the hero to millions of little girls out there, the great singer, and up to this point, pretty apolitical, because Republicans buy albums too, or whatever they're buying these days.
And
not
Republicans
albums.
Largely go to Nashville and listen to concerts.
That's right. But she came out and said that when it comes to her voting in Tennessee, where she's living, she's not going to vote for Marsha Blackburn.
Yeah.
Instead, she's going to vote for Phil Bredesen, the Democrat, because, well, it wasn't just Kavanaugh in this case, because
Bredesen
said that he was going to vote. He would have voted for Kavanaugh. But she is lamenting the fact that the Republicans are against gay rights and abortion and all this stuff. So we're divided still.
You know, it's like I know you've mentioned this before, but the whole idea of virtue signaling.
Yeah.
It's taken place. That's a prime example because, you know, if you talk to Taylor Swift, if she sat down with a journalist who would ask her semi-tough questions about, what do you not like about Marsha Blackburn and her policy positions? She would probably have a hard time getting into specifics. And so, but the left is pushing these pop artists who do have a lot of influence, at least in their profession, pushing them to do their virtue signal and say, I do not like Republicans and I don't like Marsha Blackburn.
It's interesting in this story on Fox News that talks about Taylor Swift and her endorsement of the Democrat and her and why she's against Marsha Blackburn. She went on to list items that influenced her in her support of the Democrats. She said Blackburn has voted against equal pay for women. Now, I'm sure there's all kinds of real story around that.
Right.
And believes businesses have the right to refuse service to gay couples. I also doubt that is true, because the reality is, most conservatives have said it's not about refusing service to homosexuals. It's about forcing Christian business owners to participate in homosexual events such as a homosexual wedding. I don't know anybody who has said a Christian-owned business shouldn't sell a plate of brownies to homosexuals.
Right.
And in the cases that we have covered, in the Klein case, Klein's in Oregon, they didn't refuse to sell cookies.
And Jack Phillips.
Jack Phillips and Baronelle Stutzman, the florist in Washington State. She said customers for years who were homosexuals sold them flowers, but she couldn't be involved in their homosexual wedding.
Right.
So this is another misinterpretation of the facts or a deliberate misleading of the facts. And I'm sure if you talk to to Taylor Swift, she's not aware of the distinction.
No. It sounds like she was, and I read a story somewhere else where she was being pressured mm-hmm. by some of maybe her peers or those around her that she needed to weigh in on this. And
for a political commentator, I think Taylor Swift is a pretty good singer.
Oh yeah, she's got some talent.
That's where her talent ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you start stepping in to, just like some of these Hollywood folks, they start stepping in to the political arena and weighing in on stuff. And just like, I mean, look at Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, she was asked by PBS, which is a pretty friendly media outlet to the liberals. She was asked some basic policy points about how she would pay for some of her, you know, campaign things. And she basically said, I have to get back with you on that. I'm not the best on this topic.
By the way, speaking of, did you see what she's asking for now, Ocasio-Cortez?
No, what's that?
We're going to have to do away with the Electoral College.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, isn't it based in slavery, right?
Yes, apparently. We didn't know this, but yeah, she was mixing up a couple of things. The just for the record, the Electoral College has nothing to do with slavery. It was set up so that smaller states had a voice. And by the way, this is going to be an ongoing push from the Democrats, because the last couple times Republicans have won while trying to capture the most Electoral College votes, they have lost the popular vote. It's a mm-hmm. close nation.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be hearing this from Democrats. We should do away with the Electoral College and just do the popular vote. Let me tell you what's going to happen. If you live in Los Angeles or Houston or Chicago or New York City, you're good, because you're going to see the candidates and they're going to promise you what you need, what you want, whatever the inner city is asking for, the population centers are asking for, fine. If you're a farmer in Kansas, or if you are a radio talk show host in Mississippi, or some such, you have no chance of ever seeing from a candidate nor getting any concerns that you have addressed by a candidate.
Exactly.
I even saw on the weekend, I think, with some political analyst or maybe a Democrat lawmaker themselves, basically suggesting that the election of Brett Kavanaugh by the Senate on Saturday was illegitimate because the senators voting in favor of Kavanaugh represented less than half of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they saying there? A lot of these senators come from populated states that don't amount to the population of New York and Los Angeles, et cetera, et cetera. And this is the way some of these Democrats think. They honestly do believe that these highly populated areas like New York and Los Angeles ought to run the country.
Right.
They ought to run the country because there's more people that live in those areas. And so I thought that was very interesting. It's illegitimate because these senators come from smaller states like Mississippi and states like that.
Yeah, I saw that tweet going as well. And the one I saw started with a candidate who won less than half of the popular vote has, you know, and appointed somebody which has been approved by senators who represent less than half the population. The system is broken. My response to that is a president who overwhelmingly won the Electoral College.
Right.
Nominated, which is his right, someone that corresponds with his judicial philosophy, which is exactly how it's supposed to go. So I think my little snarky tag at the end of my tweet was, you tried to break the country, but you failed.
Right. Yeah, and you know, our founding fathers set up a brilliant system, and we have separation of powers. And if the Democrats want to take over a bunch of states, then they can send a bunch of Democrat senators to block President Trump's nominees to the Supreme Court. So we have various ways, and the Democrats in California can get their own governor, which they do, and enact all their liberal policies and run their cities into the ground. So I mean, the Democrats are not—they're not being ignored here. They have power in our country in these big states.
Can I bring up something that's not Kavanaugh related? It's
please.
Just kind of been weighing on me today, running on American Family Radio and at One News Now. You will see a couple stories that I worked on last Friday and over the weekend. One of them is kind of a fallout from the Kavanaugh thing. It is about a website that I'm not going to go ahead and mention it because not because of it's obscene or anything, but because of what it does. It's a website that claims to be run out of the University of Washington, where women are allowed to go and post the name and the college affiliation, and the accusation of a man that they think is guilty of some sexual misconduct, and it could be anything from he catcalled me down the street, we were kissing, and I said no, and he didn't stop right away, all the way up to he raped me, and all this. So I don't doubt that some of these are credible, but there is nothing, nobody checking these things. This is Kavanaugh writ large. Anybody who has anything against a guy can go and put his name up there. And the University of Washington is supposedly behind this thing. Now, I tried to track down a couple of the names on there. When I put the name in and the college, because that's all information given there, very likely candidates came up through LinkedIn, which means this is the very real potential of derailing a job, at least for somebody, if not much more. So it's a dangerous thing that's going on out there. Nobody's stopping it.
Yeah.
Well, to that point, it's really interesting. Rasmussen has gone out and done a poll based on a comment that President Trump made this past week, where he said it's a very scary time for young men in America when you can be found guilty of something that you may not be guilty of.
Right.
57% of the people polled by Rasmussen agreed with that. And it's exactly right. And this was a key issue during the whole Kavanaugh controversy, was what happened to due process in this country. Due process meaning that you ought to be considered innocent until you are proven guilty. But it was a case of mob rule with Brett Kavanaugh. The mob kept repeating something that he is guilty of. You even had some Democrats, some of our lawmakers, that made it sound that Kavanaugh had been found guilty of sexual assault.
Yeah.
And so these mobs, they're out there, they're doing this kind of thing. And so young men have, and moms of young men, I was watching a panel this morning on Fox and Friends, and one of the points that was made, there was a meeting of conservative women in Washington, D.C. last week, and some of them were saying, has moms of young men, they are scared for their sons, because if this kind of attitude takes off, any disgruntled former girlfriend could, for example, could make a charge, go to police, and say, this happened, and you have to believe me because I said it happened.
Right.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, and you know, Rasmussen's had a lot of noteworthy polls the past week or two. Two here along with that one is that most agree, this poll is about whether you agree with Brett Kavanaugh's, they call it harsh criticism of what the Democrats and the way the Senate handled the accusations. This poll, 56% of likely voters agree that Brett Kavanaugh, it was acceptable for him to mount a harsh defense like he did this past week. So that's 56%. Another poll has President Trump, and maybe this is what people are calling the Kavanaugh bump in the GOP polling, but 51% approval rating for President Trump, which is good compared. He's been at 48, 47, 49, 51% from the Rasmussen.
It's what what's so frustrating about an allegation like this, because the 54% that think that Kavanaugh was right probably understand that this whole media circus, this whole last thing about any sexual attacks and everything was sprung for the purpose of keeping a Trump appointment off of the Supreme Court. In those 54% people's minds, they understand that the Democrats weren't interested in getting to the bottom of whether or not they don't care if he really did the assault
and
or not.
Senator Booker basically said that.
Right. It's not a trial. We don't care if you're innocent or guilty. We just can't put a person with this many allegations up on the court. Well,
exactly.
But that's coming from the people that are making the allegations. They have a very political reason for not wanting this seat up on the court. It's a moral victory. They want some kind of a pushback against the president. It's all kinds of things that have been said about why they did this. But I think the fact that so many people treated this as an actual investigation into whether Brett Kavanaugh did this shows that the Bible says the tongue is a fire, and that you can't. It's hard to put out. Mm. This is, to me, what happened with Kavanaugh. Someone says, whispers something that probably from all the evidence we've seen isn't true.
Right.
But all of a sudden, it's all about that, and now he's being called a rape apologist, and there's got to be a very special place in hell for someone who can destroy a man for nothing but just political expediency.
Yeah, and also you've seen things change from the journalistic side and these news outlets that are able, that they have no hesitation to run a news story that only has one source.
Oh.
And then they ask the alleged other witnesses, and they all say something that never happened, and they still run the story. And so, I mean, headlines, even Fox News runs a headline, Brett Kavanaugh accused of gang rape of multiple women.
Yeah.
You know, so you shouldn't be able to run that if you don't have more substance than you do, because just the headline, and I know it's not convicting, but the headline, gang rape and someone's name, like Brett Kavanaugh in a headline, is just it hurts a man's reputation when all indications are that such an event never occurred.
But again, people have to understand the mainstream media, for the most part, polls have shown this, 90% of the mainstream media vote Democrat.
Right.
What has happened is they have taken down what used to be an effort to be, I'm talking about journalists here, to be professional. And to be professional meant you were going to guard your bias getting into your stories. That kind of discipline has gone away. In fact, they are being encouraged by their news directors, by their senior producers. Go ahead. We all hate Donald Trump.
Right.
Go ahead. Paint the story to tarnish. Use adjectives. Come to conclusions in your own stories without any attribution, without quoting somebody. Go out and if you want to quote somebody, go out and find somebody that agrees with you when you that you dislike Donald Trump and are opposed. This is what it's not journalism. There's a place in a newspaper on a news agency for opinion.
Right.
It's called the opinion page.
Editorials.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. It's always been there. You understand it's an editorial. It's a person's point of view. What upsets me is now that reporters,
you can't tell the difference.
You can't tell the difference anymore. And we have to go through stories from the Associated Press and kind of ferret out the bias that's in there. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it is just ridiculous the level of hatred that the reporter is displaying for President Trump.
Mm-hmm. One more story, Steve.
Let me do this in the time we have left. We've been talking Kavanaugh the whole time here. Today at One News Now and today on our news, we're going to be looking at a couple of things we haven't had a chance to mention. Rod Rosenstein is going to be on a plane with President Trump today, and they're going to have that meeting. We don't know what that's going to be like, but we will be following that when that comes out. We'll be talking about that. We will probably have some updates on this horrific limousine crash in New York where 20 people died. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out what happened to there, and then we'll keep following the hurricane as it comes and approaches to let people know what's going on, just so you know that there's other things that we're covering on One News Now.
All right, Steve, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Fred.
You bet.
Yeah, folks, I would encourage you, go to onenewsnow.com, and then on their website there on the front page, you can subscribe to their daily emails. They'll email you once a day, Monday through Friday, I believe, Fred, and they'll email you once a day with a list of the top stories of the day, and then you can read from there. So onenewsnow.com, and then on the right-hand side, click subscribe and sign up for their daily news brief. Thanks for tuning in to American Family Radio, Today's Issues. Stay tuned. Alistair Begg coming up after the break.